We greet you this morning by the mercies of God, and we thank the Lord for bringing us to the Rock Audio Series. And this is Series 9. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for bringing us to this wonderful time. We pray that you establish our heart, O God, in mercy. Grant us your grace, O God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please keep listening to the Rock Audio Series. This is very, very important on your growth. We are going to be talking about discipleship today. And this is very, very germane and very, very important. If you miss this part, it would crumble the rest of what you have learned. It's very, very key. Now, let's understand that we are not dealing with somebody who loves sin, because if you still wants to play with sin, then we are not dealing with you, because scripture warned us about this. The sign that you are saved is that you hate sin. Get it clear? But that you still love to watch what you are watching. Brother, you are a lover of sin, and be careful that your conscience is not seared. Now, there's a difference between somebody that loves sin and somebody that is struggling. They are different. But if somebody is struggling, then there is genuine help from the Lord. But when we show you the help from the Lord and you claim you are still struggling, maybe you love sin, brother. Check that. God has delivered thousands of people from sin. Why is your own taking time? That's the truth. And for some of you, we'll begin to tell you, and in fact, it is in this particular series, we'll tell you about this. Okay, so we're dealing with discipleship. Discipleship. Now, I want you to first understand the foundational matter before we pick on discipleship, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Did you see that? A new. I'm functioning from King James now. He's a new creature. New. And in John chapter 3, and from verse 3 to 6, you said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then take note of that. Except a man be born again. Born. Now, take note that it is what is born that can grow. Now, whatever is not born cannot grow. Take note of that. So, when John 3 says, when Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is new. You see, new, something new. And then take note of this. You were born again to grow in the Lord. That's why 2 Peter 3, 18, if I'm correct, says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a growth. Even Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. According to Luke chapter 2, I believe, he grew also. So understand that there is the growth to the man that is born. You were born of the Spirit. You have to grow in the Spirit. Take note of that. You have to grow in the same way you grew in the physical. There is a similarity between the physical and the spiritual. There are similarities. Maybe not in all things, but there are similarities. Because when Jesus also teaches, we see him comparing the spiritual and the physical. You know, he likens the word of God to a seed, a physical seed. You know, because it is the spiritual that produces the physical elements we see. So there's a representation of the spiritual in the physical, because God created the physical things by the Spirit, by the spiritual word. You know, the word of God is spiritual. So if the Spirit produced the physical, it means there are things in the physical that mirrors things in the spiritual. I believe my expression is not confusing this morning, and I'm trusting the Lord that he would help you in Jesus' name. So understand this, whichever time you are listening to this, that God's word is powerful. That's where we look onto to help us. So when you are born to grow. So when you are born again also, you are born to grow. You see, you need to grow in your spirit. You need to grow in the understanding in your soul realm. Take note that your body is growing on its own. And it takes, take note of this. What makes your body to grow is the intake of food. When you take in food properly from childhood, you will grow. It's not a prayer point. You will grow. If from the beginning point, don't forget, as we began to raise from the Rock Audio Series 1, if you were born properly, if your formation was proper, if the gospel you had was proper, you will discover that as you feed, you will grow. When you are born, you will grow as you feed. Now, there are three levels of spiritual growth. three levels of spiritual growth. And I want you to see that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. You see the way it is. He said, I write unto you little children. That's the first level of spiritual growth, little children. And because your sins are forgiven, time will fail me to break that down, because children deals with Lord forgive me. Sometimes they are not sure if their sins are forgiven, whether they are wrong. That's the level of the baby level in the things of God. And take note of this. They are helping the little child to see that his sin is forgiven, and they are strengthening him not to commit sin. That's why you see 1 John 2:1 speaks about children and sin. You know, it talks about, anytime you talk about committing sin and not committing sin, forgiveness, you deal with children. Verse 13, I write unto you fathers. That's another one. I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. You see, when you talk about fatherhood stage, you talk about knowledge. You have known him. You are talking about knowledge, spiritual knowledge that has translated into application and that is now betting others. Because you don't talk about father except you are betting people after your life. So that's another stage. And then I write unto you young men. The beautiful thing about Brother John's arrangement here in the first time is that he puts fathers before young, and that's very, very notable that he didn't say children, young, and fathers. You understand? That's how he should have put it. But he put father in the middle, because that fatherhood is the one that stands between the young and the child. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's that fatherhood level that is the discipleship level, because it's in the middle. You see, the fathers raise young men, the fathers raise little children. Did you see that? That's why the father is in the middle. And this is beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I write unto you, and then I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And he said, I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. So the young level, the young man is the battle level. He said, because you have overcome the wicked one. That's the battle level. So as you are a little child, you don't get into battle. But as you begin to grow, then testings, battles, temptations, trials, and then it begins to come, because now you have grown to the point where you understand God's word, so you have to be tested. You see that? You don't test a little child. Little children is about mistake. That's the children level. They don't have enough knowledge. Young men, now I know what to do. I need to prove it that I know it. That's the young level. And then the growing level. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. Now look at him coming back now. That little children, I'm writing unto you because you have known the Father. Take note of this. There is the level of the understanding of knowledge at every level. At every level, there is a level of knowledge. At every level, I write unto you, I have written unto you fathers because you have known him. Now take note of what he said to fathers. It's very, very key. Very, very key. What he said to children varied, and young men, it varied a little. But what he said to fathers remained constant. You have known him. That is from the beginning. That's dealing with experience. You have known him. That is from the beginning. You see, that's experience. You have walked, you have grown from baby level knowledge, you know, you have grown baby level knowledge, you have come into young men level, you are strong, you know the word of God, it abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one, and now you are reproducing your life. And he said again, I have written unto you young men because you are strong. So there's a level whereby you begin to build up strength. And the word of God abides in you. That's the level of the young man, the level of the adulthood, that, and then you have overcome the wicked one. So understand these are the three levels of spiritual growth. But take note of this. It is fathers that raises children to become young men, and it is fathers that raises young men to become new fathers. Take note of that. That's why you need to believe God for what I'm saying. Discipleship involves you being raised by a father. Take note of this. And this is the problem. Many people call it different names, but let me simplify it. It is fatherhood that the Bible was bringing into Matthew 11 when it said you must be discipled. Let me give you this. When I say fatherhood, I didn't mean a male Because the Bible does not, Brother John, I mean, Apostle Paul told us in Christ there is no male or female. So we're not the, for the fact that we use the word children, father, and all of that, does not speak about male, female. Now, please remove that. Because the male, female is for the earth and is for the purpose of procreation. So don't bring. There are no male spirit and female spirit. No. There's no. When you were born again, you were born again as a male regenerated spirit or a female. There's nothing like that. Please remove that from your mind. Don't begin to ask questions about angels and all of that. That's not the focus. The focus is that when you were born again, your spirit is regenerated. And we're not going to heaven to procreate and multiply spirits. Now, it's on earth here, you talk about procreation. That's why demons don't procreate, don't multiply, don't marry. Angels don't procreate, they don't marry. Take note of that. Because they are spirits. We here, we are humans, and then we can procreate and multiply. That is how God said it. He said it to us, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say that to angels, to be fruitful and multiply. So, understand that. Now, which level are you? That's the question. If you are in the level of the little child, you need discipleship. If you are in the level of a young man that, you know, and thank you, Holy Spirit, and that now you have you're a master over the word of God, you are conquering, and then you are getting some footings in your life, you are overcoming, God is giving you clarity, you still need a father. Now, take note of that. That a fatherhood figure is that a life that is more experienced than you, more mature than you, who is walking with Jesus, who can lead you, who can show you. I have observed that except people see examples, except children see examples, they don't know what to do. Let me give an example. If you give birth to a child today and you put him among chickens and goats and animals, that child will start acting like an animal. It will shock you. When a baby is born, put that baby in the bush. And maybe as the baby could feed on one or two things, you know, let that baby grow inside the bush. That baby will act like an animal. That baby will respond to the examples. That baby may crawl all the rest of his life. One thing you notice that as we give birth to children, well, you see, understand this very, very germane. Well, I had a story, and I think Pastor Kumi repeated that story, that, you know, a egg of an eagle was placed among chickens, and the mother hen hatched everything. When everything was hatched, even though the eagle was different, yet the eagle was behaving like all the rest of the chickens, running like them on the floor. Even though that eagle was meant for the sky, yet because that's where that eagle grew from. That's why he's behaving like that. So you need examples to behave the way you ought to behave in Christ. Many of you truly receive Christ, but you lack parents, spiritual parents. Spiritual parenting, or what we call fatherhood, is discipleship. And listen, it can be a mom, a woman, and it can be a male. Understand this. It is best for a male to disciple a male. That's the template Jesus showed us. And it is best for a female to disciple a female. If you are a female, a single brother cannot disciple you. I'll be going into details because this is very important. Because discipleship deals with intimacy. Oh Lord, I hope I'm not running ahead of time. Let's just, first of all, lay the first foundation. Until you parent a child, it cannot grow properly. Until you parent a child, it cannot grow properly. The problem of, now look at this, when a child is born, can that child sit on his own? Can that child walk on his own or his or her own? Can that child eat on his or her own? What's the work of parents, the work of the mother? The work of the parent, the mother, is to help that child through that process until the child can sit. And take note, the first thing every child does is sitting. And that's the first manifestation of spiritual growth, ability to sit. Nobody starts by standing. You start by sitting. And that's the level whereby you are feeding from God's word. You see, sitting position is the first position of every growth. When you were first born, you are carried all the time. That's why you need the parenting that carries you through. The carriage, they carry you, they feed you. They feed you. And then the milk level is your first level of feeding. It's soft, it's simple. The problem today is that babies that are just born are being fed with strong meat. That's why you can't grow by what you hear on Facebook. messages you hear on YouTube. You just listen to this apostle, that prophet, that evangelist, this teacher. You won't go. You will discover that your head is filled with knowledge but lacks capacity to do. That's why you find out a lot of people know a lot but cannot do. They are babies because they just know a lot of things but they cannot do. Do you understand? Now, understand that you are carried at that level to be fed with milk. Everything you do, you are carried. But a time comes, you first responsibility, you start sitting because your backbone, that's the first thing that proper spiritual growth through discipleship strengthens first your backbone to sit down. So you are sitting down means you are not rushing for anything. You can't move, but you can sit. You are not pushing. You see a baby want that is starting ministry when he's supposed to sit first. He's beginning to nurture. God has called me as a singer. God has called me. Your first level is to sit. And through parenting, through discipleship, you see, discipleship is spiritual parenting. That's what it means. Spiritual parenting. When you are parented, you see now, and then you are carried. And as you sit, the next thing you notice is that you want to start making movement. That means attempting things. That's what crawling is. It looks like crawling. And then, you know, it varies. You're crawling, you are standing. But when you stand, you can hold things. You can linger on what you are told. By the time you are beginning to stand, you find out that your first level of standing discipleship as you are growing is that you know, when a child is standing, I'm a father, and I see my children, when they are growing, they stand and hold table. They are still standing, but they are relying on something. When you take away that thing, they fall. You see that now. So as you are growing, you are standing, but you are relying on every teaching. You are relying on every word. You can't practically think on your own as much as it's like that. You don't have capacity much to dissect scripture, but that you are holding everything that you are told by your spiritual parent, what they give you to stand on. And take note of this. At that level, there is a lot of supervision. I remember my wife cannot bear leave our baby alone in the room. Even if that baby is sleeping, she goes to check regularly. You see, that's parenting. You are supervised. So what is your response? You must allow yourself to be supervised. Some of you are born again. You don't want supervision. You will not grow properly. That's why you will fall down and wound yourself. You see, I've seen times whereby I carry my child and she's struggling with me that she wants to come down. And I say, you cannot walk yet. She struggles to come down. And when she comes down, she's acting as if she wants to jump. But I'm a parent. I'm wise enough to supervise. Because if I don't supervise, her head will hit the floor. And if the head hits the floor, guess what? She's going to cry. That's a child. A child is open. You know, for example, now, I want you to understand this. A child make mistakes, not deliberate. You don't see a child that says, I want to fall, and I will fall now. That's not, it's a sign that that child wasn't born at all. So you can't be born again and say, I'll go and fornicate, I'll go and masturbate, I will lie to that man coming. They are not born again, brother. You are not born again. You see, a born again child is, he may make mistakes, say, I don't know what to do now. You call your parents. Now, take note of this. There's no time my child falls that you don't know. You, because the cry is a signal that help me. That's the signal of a child. It's help me is the reason for that cry. I'm wounded. I'm falling. So you see the mother, you see the father, they rush to that place, you know, and they carry the pets. When they pet, they won't say you are not a human being. Is that how you should behave? No. They nurture, they pet, they feed. The child sleeps, wakes up, and goes back to what she's doing. And in the whole process, they are supervised. They are supervised. They are supervised. And that child begins to take steps in life. You see, that's what the Bible now refers to in Matthew chapter 11. And I will be reading from verse 28. I hope the Lord is helping your heart. He said, come to me. I'm reading from the Amplified Translation. Come to me, all who are weary and are heavily burdened by religious rituals that provides no peace. And then also those who are weary of iniquity and sin, and I will give you rest. Now, the first thing you notice when you are born again is rest. Brother, these are signals. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are ever laden, and I will give you rest. If you come, you will have rest. But he said, but I don't have rest, you have not come. God cannot lie. He said, but I don't have rest, you have not come. Maybe you answered another call, you didn't really come. You see, some of you have not really come. And the sign is that you still want to keep your boyfriend. You have not come. You want to keep your girlfriend because you had covenant or your parents have known you. You have not truly come. Whoever come must leave something. If I ask you now, come to me, it means you must leave where you are to come. And take note of that. Come to me. Jesus is in this. The steps to discipleship is not I will come to you. It's you come to me. You have to understand this. Jesus had already come to do his own part. Now, let me tell you what that means. If I say come to me, it means I'm available for your coming to me. So all that Jesus needs to do, he has done on the cross. Now he's inviting, come to me. It's not as if we are going to be running after you. No, no, no. You come is a choice. Come to me. Now, if I say come to me, it means I'm available. I have done everything for your coming. So you can't come and I push you away. That's what Jesus will never do. No matter the level of the load on your neck, come to me, come to me, all ye that labor, heavy laden. Yoruba says, "Tia dieri, we will lori." So no matter how heavy the, I love that Yoruba translation, "Tia dieri, we will lori." Now take note of this. I'll put it in English. The time the Lord was helping me, he said, "Tia dieru," that means adili luri, conscious lo different. And I discover that what does that mean? Heavily laden, that means loads of things was put on you, and that happened by birth, because since Adam fell, loads of sin, iniquity, terrible lifestyle, family curses, all kinds of things were put upon us. Family limitation, trouble, sickness, weakness was put on us. It was not our fault, we were born into it. Jesus now said, since it's not your fault that those things you are heavily laden, you come. The only thing you should do, come. When you come, I will take away the load, then you will have rest. That's the first level. You notice that when you come, brother, you will experience rest. Restlessness is a sign you have not come. It's the truth, though. The Bible is so simple that if you truly came to Christ, you will have rest. You see, what I notice is that when I came, I had rest. Listen. The part of growth is not what we are dealing with at the first level. The first level is restfulness. You just discover that, whoa, if that girl will go, let her go. If that thing will go, let her go. I'm tired of this life. I'm not doing that thing again. I want to serve this. You see, you will notice. But when you still see struggling, you've not come. Jesus can't lie. It's you that have problem. Come and you will have rest. The second thing that many people come, they get that rest and they stay. They don't take the further step, which leads to discipleship. And that's why even though you have come and it gives you rest, you can go back. Because there's something that makes you to be with him. Look at what Jesus is saying. When you come to me, I take away the load. After they take away the load, you might decide to walk back away. If you walk back away thinking that, aha, Jesus has given me rest, they might put another heavier load on you. But Jesus now says, to further your coming, you must now take something on you. Open your Bible and see verse 29. Take my yoke. You see, not I will force it on you. The first level thing you did was to come voluntarily, willingly, you know, knowing that I'm the one who can give you rest. Second one is that you should take the yoke. Also, they didn't force it on you. Now, take my yoke upon you and learn. King James says, of me. I like that, King James, of me. You learn of me. You learn things that are of me. So when you come to me, you will learn me, not just learn things from me. Even though other translations use the word from me, but if you look at what Jesus described there, because when he said learn of me, he now described who he is. So what you are learning is not just what you are learning from as to walk away. You are learning of him, because you cannot be detached away from him. Because when you take his yoke, when I was in the north, I saw it. I don't see it down south. I saw two oxen. They will put a wood on their neck. That's the yoke. There's always one mature one, one experienced cow or cattle, and then one less experienced. So the more experienced cattle is walking, is yoked with that other cattle. So as they are walking, the other lesser cattle is gaining experience because of the yoke, that wood on their neck. Now, if the other cattle that is lesser, less mature, wants to go and do something else, they cannot go. It's no more free. to do whatever he likes. Why? The yoke. When you come to Christ and you take his yoke, you are no more free to do what you want to do. Your freedom is under that yoke. Some of people don't know that when we say Christ has called us to liberty, it's liberty from the heavy load we were carrying before, load of iniquity and sin. But we are not carrying that load again. We are carrying a new load, which is called a yoke. Christianity is not the religion of libertinians. What is libertinians? Libertinians are those who believe that we are at liberty to do whatever we like. Christ has paid the price. No, sir. No, sir. If I go to the market to buy bottled water, hope you know I have delivered that bottled water from the seller by paying for it. Do you understand what I mean? If I buy the bottled water, that bottled water will leave that shop. The bottled water can claim I'm free. Actually, you are free to be in another place. You see that? So there's no free freedom. Understand this. It's a freedom from a kingdom into another kingdom, from a place to another. There's no vacuum. There's no middle ground. Say, me, I'm free. I can do what I like. I can wear what I like. You know, faith is of the art. There's no Bible. They didn't teach that. When you drop the initial load, you must carry another one. And that they will not force on you. Because your neck cannot be free. It must carry something. The only difference is this yoke that you are now carrying, it is easy to bear. You see that? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn. Because you cannot learn until you are yoked. What is yoke? You are connected and that you are not free to do what you want to do again. And who are you yoked with? Christ. Now, Christ does not come down to the earth again. He has to walk through people. Now, take note of Matthew chapter 28 and then see how scripture put it from verse 18. He told his own disciples, said, go ye into all the world and make disciples. That means make people that will be yoked with me of all nations, teaching them to follow everything I have commanded you. So how are you yoked with Christ? You are yoked with Christ by following those who follow Christ. That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So until you are yoked with a father, a spiritual parent, someone who is following Jesus. Listen, you don't yoke yourself with somebody because he goes to church. Mm-mm. The sign is that the person is following Jesus. You are saying, and what do you take note of to know somebody is following Jesus? Look at Matthew 11, 28 again. 29 now. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, amplified. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find the rest for your soul. Now, the first rest is a rest that we can say of your spirit. Your spirit is no more corrupt. Your spirit is lighted. All loads have been taken. You've been regenerated. But the second one is discipleship brings rest to your soul, not to your spirit. Because your soul is the learning box, as it were. The learning realm. The place where your spirit is generated. Praise God. But your soul is the battleground. I'm telling you, what will help us see on the final day that you were truly regenerated in your spirit is how your soul learns the ways of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And you cannot learn the ways and the teachings of Christ except you have an example. That example is someone following Jesus. Many of you, once you get born again, you are alone. You read your Bible alone. You pray alone. Nobody to evaluate you, no accountability. That's why you went into a relationship and you're already fornicating and romancing. You didn't pray about it. No parents saw into it. You see that? Many of you take decisions that nobody prayed with you, no elder over you. So you need discipleship. It takes parenting to grow properly. Understand this. So this is very important. So ask yourself, do I have spiritual parents? Some of you say I have spiritual parents. You have spiritual parents by mouth. That's why you're still committing sin. You see, the sign that you are spiritual parents is that you must be crying to them when there's a need. Sir, I don't understand this Bible. Ma, I cannot understand the word of God. I've been struggling with my quiet time. You see, you report yourself. Every child cries when something is not going on well. The sign that you are not under anybody is that whenever you feel that something is wrong, nobody knows. When somebody molested you, nobody knew. When a lecturer threatened you, nobody knew. When you are having a sickness that you cannot handle and it's already depressing your faith, nobody knows. So you see, you are not under any parent. It takes fathers. You must have a fatherhood figure. And that fatherhood figure can be a woman. That's what I'm telling you. So male should disciple a male and female to female. Because that every child that you want to raise, you must bring that child close to yourself. You want to give a child a breast milk, you bring her in close. You bring her close to yourself. So discipleship is intimacy. Being with. It's in the scripture. Every disciple of Christ were with him. So that's why all of them, all the core disciples of Christ were males, because they have to be with him. Females were at arm's length. That's how Jesus dealt with sisters. So listen to this. And the scripture gave us example that older women should train younger women. It's in the Bible. If you check 1 Timothy, older women should be examples of younger women. So don't say that you have a discipler and the disciple, someone that is your spiritual, you know, some of you call him mentor. Mentorship is different from discipleship. Mentorship is somebody you can be your mentor through books. You just like the teachings, you like the whatever. That's mentorship. There's no connection of intimacy. So you can listen to a brother who blesses you, whatever. But to be intimate as to be with, to visit, to be together, a brother cannot disciple you. If you are a sister, it has to be a married man. So that the man and his wife, and you must be closer to the wife. Is the rule. That's how some people get into lusting after the single brother. I wish brother so-and-so marry me. You know, it's beginning to trouble you because it's intimacy. Are you with me now? That's how some brothers are battling with some desires because the sisters come around, enter their kitchen, take their pot, eat their food. They call it, they are my daughters. They are not your daughters in the faith. Understand this. The Lord will strengthen us. We have to stop here and we'll continue the next time. The reason why you have K-leg in your growth. Some of you have been born again and some of you have received Christ a long time. You have been answering altar call now. This is almost the 5 times. Went back into masturbation. Because you don't have spiritual parents who can monitor you, whom you submit to. Now, take notes. Don't have spiritual parents you don't submit to. They say, bring that phone. Bring it. Because to be a child means to submit. Bring that phone, bring it. You are not going there. Yes, sir. It looks like you are stupid, but that is what Jesus said. For meek and lowly in heart, it takes humility to learn and grow. Proud people can never grow. And if you struggle like this, you will reach a point where the Bible says, sin can harden your heart, and by that, you may miss heaven. See, it's in the scripture. You can get into Christ. And if you are not careful, sin will harden your heart through deceit. It's in the scripture. I will show you some other time. Be careful of the kind of teachings you listen to. Because you are coming to Christ by choice. You can also live by choice. They didn't force you to come. Understand this. Very, very important. Understand that your coming to Christ is by choice and is by grace through faith. Now, when you come, salvation is achieved by grace through faith. The Lord calls you. You didn't call yourself. That's the grace. When the Lord extends the invitation, that's grace speaking. When you respond, that's an action from you through faith. Your faith. Not by force, but by faith. Understand that. So, don't let sin deceive you and add in your heart. The Lord will strengthen you. At this point, we need to stop and pick it on next. Oh Lord, I pray for everyone. They will begin to think about spiritual parenting, discipleship. Until we are discipled, we cannot be disciplined. Until we are discipled, we cannot be matured. Thank you, Lord. You will help us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.